104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with a big story of the day.
Yo. Oh, my God. This better... Okay, hold on, hold on.
Oh, God.
No, this is a big deal.
For you, it's a huge deal.
Hold on. Oh, my God. Oh. Hi there. It's D-Max, Zach Bond. The headphones got to work. And they were slightly broken. Oh, man. Who was last? Was this John Davis?
Yeah.
Dude, if John Davis breaks these headphones.
Dude. I have been waiting to call you out.
Call me out of my headphones?
Yes.
Actually, no.
Don't even try.
Actually, no. Not your headphones.
For what?
For the headphones that are on your head.
Huh?
Yeah.
What about them?
Right. So you, how many years have you worked in radio?
32.
Right? Tell us all the time, right? 32 years.
Sorry to bore you with those details.
30 years in the business. You come in here every day.
Yeah.
You are well compensated for what you do.
Yeah.
You come in here every day.
Ish. Yeah.
And you pick up a pair of community headphones.
Yeah.
That get passed around like a...
Like
whatever
what?
You would pass around.
Yeah, okay. Legalize.
Move it to the left. You should have your own pair of headphones, D-Mac.
Don't need to. I have over the years. I've had until I worked here. Always have my own headphones.
So
Sony's.
So it like doesn't...
These like...
Like you
so,
never like, thought well, about like that Sandy wears those at night. They're
don't
still
care.
Warm from John Davis's head.
Don't care. They're perfect. They are perfect.
Well, why wouldn't you get the same pair and just have your own pair?
I don't need to because I've got these. They're perfect.
What would happen if they went missing?
I'd be so sad. They're so perfect.
I mean, Darren.
I really don't care who else wears them.
Darren,
perfect.
You need your own pair of what they used to call cans.
Uh-uh.
You need your own pair of cans.
If trust me, this is not a matter of cost or expense. It's their perfect pair of headphones. And if they weren't here anymore, I would go out and buy a pair almost as good as these. I would try to get exactly the same.
Then you need to take those for yourself.
No.
And
purchase
another community pair.
Why?
For the principle of it.
I mean, does it bother you?
It bothers me that it doesn't bother you.
Oh, well, I just like perfect headphones. That's all. That's not even a starting point.
Like the thing... You know, one of the things I love about basketball is you don't need anything but a pair of sneakers. You can show up to the park.
You better have a good pair of sneakers.
Right? You show up to the park, right? You could just play. It's the only sport like that. When radio, you only need one thing.
Yep.
They provide the computer. They provide the microphone.
Yeah.
You just need a pair of headphones. You choose to show up with nothing.
Because of the perfect pair of headphones are here. What kind of dummy goes out and spends $100-something on something that he already has when you don't need it?
You don't have it. Those are not your headphones.
Dude, I don't wear headphones like outside of here. What do you think? I just walk all around with like studio quality headphones?
It's what I do.
Really?
It's what Stoke does.
All right. Well, you guys can do whatever you want. I'll just keep, you know, doing, you know, wearing a perfect pair of headphones. And by the way, I wouldn't wear those Beats to do this job if you paid me. They're fine, I'm sure, if you're listening to whatever hip-hop music you're into.
Dude, I tried to switch it up and went away from Beats for about a week and just went right back. They're studio quality. They're terrific. There's no knock against
they're
Beats.
They're for music.
Dude, they're
not for studio. They're for music.
D-Mac.
What song's playing right now?
The interior of
right,
those.
Whatever. You're happy with you. I'll do me. Right. I'm never going to buy a pair of headphones if I have a perfect pair just sitting here.
Right.
I was just nervous there because I thought John Davis broke them. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show.
The day after.
Buffalo is leading my Sun Devils 44-31 right now with 27 seconds to go. Arizona State has missed countless amounts of layups and bunnies. And UB is, you know, they're scoring at will, I guess. They got 44 points. My bracket is totally busted. Is my orange. We're defeated by Baylor.
One and done.
One and done. Sucks.
But that did not stop you.
No.
From digging so deep into your closet.
So deep.
And
I did have to go deep in my closet for this, literally.
I would imagine it wouldn't be at the front.
I was like, I know it's in here somewhere.
D-Mac is wearing a windbreaker pullover.
Look at this thing. Is it awesome?
With Otto, the orange on the front. I'm going to guess the year is... I'm going to go my birth year.
What's that?
87.
Yeah, it could be... more likely 88, only because I was only a freshman in 87. I doubt I bought this first semester.
We got to get a picture of that pack.
I'm happy to. If you think I'm embarrassed by this, you are way wrong.
No, I know.
I mean, I'm in my glory.
I know that you're not.
I'm wearing my Syracuse, dad ball cap, my 30-something-year-old windbreaker jacket. The sad thing is I really don't have a lot of other Syracuse gear. Like, this is like as much as I have. I bought like a t-shirt when I went back there with my kids a couple years ago. I was like, wow, I really should have more Syracuse stuff. I have way more. Listen, I'm telling you, do you love your school or not? And if you can wear the colors after a complete humiliation, then you love your school. And I love my school. I am wearing these colors today.
I actually, in a strange way, I actually respect that.
Keep your head up, baby.
Like your nose bleeding. I love it.
Thank you.
Like your nose bleeding. How about really quick? Bobby Hurley takes the Buffalo job years ago. Buffalo basketball, nothing to do with nothing, right? Bobby Hurley shows up in 2013. He brings Buffalo to the first ever NCAA tournament in 2015. He leaves for a higher profile job. He's in a Power 5 conference, coaching ASU, your Sun Devils. It just so happens he gets matched up in the tournament with Buffalo, who is a freaking six seed, because the guy that Bobby Hurley hired, Nate Oates, and brought him to Buffalo, has launched their program to another level that Bobby Hurley never imagined it would be at.
That's pretty cool.
And he's a six seed beating the guy that hired him at Buffalo. That's pretty cool.
That is really cool. That is really cool. What's not cool is ASU's like losing by 13 right now. That is not cool.
Yeah, they're done.
I'm sorry, what?
They're done.
They're done? You're right, it's over?
It's over.
13-point deficit, over?
No, it's less about the 13-point deficit, more about Buffalo's just so much better of a basketball team. I think they win by 16 today.
Well, you're a jerk.
I'm not trying to be...
Why are you hating on my kids?
I'm hating on your son.
Why are you trying to take... I'm just trying to feed my family. Just trying to feed the family. I got a cousin and a sister and an uncle and three nephews. I'm just trying
in-laws.
To... In-laws? I've got in-laws.
There were in-laws.
They've got in-laws.
Right.
I've got ex-in-laws that are still hanging in there. And you think it's easy to support ex-in-laws? I mean, think about it for a second. Ex-in-laws. I mean, if I were lucky enough to go out to dinner with Mark Schlereth, I'd be ordering multiple bags of food to go. And I might want to switch positions. You just don't know. We got a lot of attention here yesterday, Zach. Today's like spring break compared to yesterday. Yesterday was pretty intense, right?
It was.
So,
were you caught off guard with the way that it started?
Yes. Yeah, I was. I really was like, oh my gosh, the hype on this is we are going to under-deliver big time. Nope. that escalated quickly.
It did. And what was interesting is that the heated exchange is not what caught traction. The Pittsburgh Steelers story got picked up by First Take on ESPN. I saw it on Pro Football Talk.
Which one was that?
Where the GM told him that, who do you think you are, Antonio Brown?
Mm.
That was that.
Is that right? I didn't even catch that.
Yeah.
Is that really?
Yeah, had some legs to it. Steven actually sent me a picture
no
of.
No kidding.
The quotes, they had the quotes plastered up there on First Take with a tributation to, 104.3 The Fan.
And, that happened today?
It happened today.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Wow. Okay.
It was on Pro Football Talk on one of their, you know, main
headlines.
What do
you think, you're Antonio Brown? Yeah, there were a lot of great nuggets out of that interview.
For sure.
Boy, I didn't even think of that one, but that is good now that you bring it up.
I mean, think about
the Kansas City story is unbelievable.
That was wild. I love that story. I never heard a hint of that.
Yeah, I mean, that was as detailed as I had ever heard. I knew there was something. We all knew there was something. There had been a lingering story for years, but that was great.
Andy Reid leaving, going to like a kid's game and storming back in the SUV. Where the F are you going? Or get back in my office.
Good stuff. Kind of the admission, like, you know, just the quarterbacks without throwing them under the bus. I mean, pretty obvious, right?
That sure.
It was all about the quarterbacks. I thought it was interesting to hear how influential it was for a free agent to consider playing with Peyton Manning, which kind of confirms something we've always thought.
Yeah.
But it also would tell you, logically, if you don't have a quarterback like that, the odds of getting high-quality free agents may be altered a bit. Now, I mean, when you're just getting defensive guys, or I suppose offensive linemen, maybe it doesn't matter. But it does show you the power of Peyton Manning. You know, what people thought they could win, people wanted to win, and Peyton's there, so.
Well, it was interesting because if you remember about an hour before Emmanuel came in, We were talking and kicking around questions to ask him, and you said, I want to ask him what changed. You know, what's changed? And I said, I'd be willing to bet when he answers that question, the name Peyton Manning comes out of his mouth.
And it did.
And that was the first thing that came out.
Also, and we're going to replay the interview at 5 o'clock. So
I've listened to it twice.
Have you really?
Since actually sitting here, because they put the video out. And oh my goodness, shout out once again. We did it on Facebook Live, but shout out to Johnny Hart and Sean Gates and all these guys behind the scenes. KJ, that the video quality and production value for a radio station.
It's incredible.
I would challenge any market in the country.
Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't know it's a radio station, that's for sure. But the when you say, like, you know, how it started, the whole, like, you call me a cancer, that thing. And I said, no, I didn't. Yes, you did, cancer, da ba 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 bum. And we went back and forth. And even today, Emmanuel sent me, everybody, I guess.
I have it here.
A tweet with, like, here's proof that you did it.
Can I read you the tweet? I have a
poll. No, it's okay. It's okay. I'll just sum it up.
Sure.
You can go look at it if you need to know this. I appreciate that, but I just want to just kind of get to the juxt of it. So I really felt like when I saw that this morning and I saw that we had on our website posted something with the word cancer associated with it. I mean, I had a moment of like, whoa, you know, I really, really swear to goodness, did not think I said it.
Do you want to read the headline that we put out from a while back?
Okay.
I mean, for context, because in these blogs, where we recap these segments, it says, Simeon names starter for Broncos. Paxton will get some run. D-Mac names his locker room cancer for the Broncos.
So, because why was I so adamant that I didn't say it? Because I really felt like I didn't say it. But when I saw that, I was like, wait a second. What? Here's how this happens. Now, this was like years ago, like 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know who did it. I don't know who at the time posted this. I don't know who wrote the headline. We've had people behind the scenes that have changed over the years that have done this particular role. For example, on that particular show, Al wasn't even here. It was Tyler Plumbus.
That's right.
Filling in.
Yeah, call me back, Tyler.
And I really didn't feel like I had said it. But when you see that headline, you said, well, it's on your website, D-Mac. And I was like, well, yeah. I mean, I get it from Emmanuel's perspective. He doesn't listen to the show. He never has. And I believe that, too. So if somebody sent me a headline like that, I would absolutely assume the person had said it.
It looks damning.
It looks unbelievable. So I understand it from his perspective. It makes sense. Now, did he go? This is kind of like the Derek Wolfe thing the other day. Like, Derek Wolfe, like, was all, like, at-tweeting me about saying, you know, we got to, you know, you're not playing with swag.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I didn't say that.
Right, Chad did.
Chad Brown did.
And if you clicked on the article, it said that Chad said it.
I remember Woody Page was ticked off at me for, because his mom heard something that I said. That's right, Woody Page's mom, who's like 90, was listening and heard something. And it was Chad. Everything, you know, was other people. And I sent Woody the clip, and I said, no, it wasn't me. It was this and that. Well, this is another example. And you can go back and listen to the audio if you want. This is 3 years ago, but I never did say it. What I said was he was a poison pill. And Tyler was on with me, and he used the word cancer, and he just sort of, you know, kept egging me on a little bit, trying to get my goat and kind of go in that direction. But now I know this. Here's how I know this. There was a listener of ours, and he just met me down at Sports Column. And God bless this guy, because I didn't want to go through the agony of listening to something. I didn't. Plus, I was out at Sports Column. I just didn't do it. He went through and listened to the whole thing. He went through and listened to the whole thing. He highlighted different points of the conversation. And he goes, yeah, you never said it at all. You never said it. Tyler said it. You kind of talked about the concept of it, but you didn't actually say it. So I was like, wow, thank you so much for going back and saying that. And that makes me feel better because I'm so certain that I didn't say it. But then I'm almost 50 and I forget things. And I was like, geez, could I have? I don't know. Now, the person who wrote the headline for us years ago, I don't know. They were just trying to, we don't check on what headlines are written. We don't, you know, that people behind the scenes just sort of take care of it. Maybe I should start, I guess, but it's just not something we've ever done around here in terms of hosts of the show. Do you ever go back and look at the headlines they write about, you know, what's on there about your show?
No.
The headline? No. So I talked to
because they just sort of summarized what you talked about. That's all.
Right. I talked to a longtime, well-regarded newspaper writer here in town today. And I said, has this ever happened to you in terms of you write an article and the headline misrepresents? Because in newspaper world, the writer doesn't write the headline. It's an editor that writes the headline. That's how that works.
That's right.
And he goes, yeah, that's happened to me all the time. And this is an example of that the headline misrepresents. And this is terrible. This is like when Charles Barkley was talking about being misquoted in his own autobiography. And it looks awful suspicious when your own place, not on purpose, not to do anything mean or malicious, but I would never have had them write that headline had I even thought that they were going to use it anyway. But I didn't think they were going to use it because I didn't say it. And I wouldn't have, you know, but if you don't listen to the show and you're Emmanuel Sanders and that's all that, you know, somebody sends to you, you're going to assume that it actually happened. So you can see why there could be some sort of friction there because it's a lot of gray areas there, Zach, where nobody's really necessarily at fault, but at least one person thinks something else that's not necessarily true. Anyway, that's that. And I don't need to go over it again, although maybe I'll, because the first part of that whole interview was like all about that stuff.
Well, I got to say this, and I said this to you afterward on our Facebook Live. I just think, honestly, I think you misdiagnosed what he was saying. He wasn't being literal. He was just like that is a common term, and I thought you took it way too personally, and I know you went through a personal experience.
Well, that's why.
I know, but it's common vernacular. Like when you say, oh, he's a cancer in the locker room.
Yeah, but I wouldn't use it because of what I did go through in a personal way. And by the way, I've got another buddy, we all do, in the sports world, that's dealing with it. And I just wouldn't do it, Zach. So I do take it. I know what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But I just view it differently now. That's all.
You wouldn't use that verbiage. You use poison pill.
Poison pill. And at the time, I stand by it. In fact, when he said, well, you wanted him to cut me, I was like, yeah. I didn't back down from that. So anyways, just a point of clarification. I appreciate my man going through the audio and doing like the legwork on that.
That's digging deep.
I tell you
because that day you guys were talking about Trevor Siemian being named the Week 17 starter.
I mean, we're
so is that from the 2016 season? That's
week 17,
I think, against the Raiders, maybe?
Yep. With
the, Gary Kubiak in the tunnel.
Yep, all that stuff. Yep. It makes sense why Tyler might have been filling in December, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah, dude, like I tell you, like you just said, there was a quote about the Steelers, whatever, that I got to go listen to it. I don't remember. I forget things all the time. It's not one of my best traits, my memory, Zach. Usually really intelligent people have great memories. I bet my brother remembers everything. It's not one of my strongest traits. That being said, wait, we got something.
I'm just letting you know it's still
there.
It's
still on the headlines.
You know, headlines.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Well, Emmanuel's back in the news. I mean, he is back in the national spotlight. There you go. Did exchange a couple of texts with Emmanuel, sort of off the air. Things seem cool. We'll see where it goes from there. The Jake Butt situation, I figured it out.
You got to help me with that one.
Tell me about it. You know what? I'll save the Jake Butt story just for a little bit. Yeah, I could even breeze through it real quick. It's a total misunderstanding about how something was interpreted on Twitter. Again, it's like you think it means something, but it meant something completely different. I talked with Jake about it via text, and it's all good. And he's probably going to come on the show next week.
Cool.
So look forward. Jake Butt will be on the show next week.
The game of telephone that gets played in this business.
It's crazy sometimes.
It is.
This is all social media, by the way.
It is crazy.
Yeah. But I got to give you this before we get to break, because this is kind of big news.
Sure.
I found out from a well-placed birdie. One of the better birdie sources I've ever had.
A well-placed birdie. So that's like a higher branch.
High, like as possibly as high as you can go.
Oh, Lord.
The San Diego Chargers have offered a second-round pick for Josh Rosen. He is going, if he goes, the value is going to be second round. To the Chargers.
You know, it doesn't surprise me even a little bit. We talked about this last week. If it's the quarterback position, they've already taken a hit of depreciation with the 10th pick. Third round was light. Why not a first round? Why not a first round pick?
They want a first round. They're waiting for a first round. It's a good question by you. Second is on the table right now. The Cardinals are waiting for a first round.
Would you give up the Broncos' first-round pick for Josh Rosen?
I talked the same birdie that gave me this info said if Josh Rosen, and this dude who I'm talking to knows his pro and college football, said if it was this year's draft, it would go Kyler Murray 1, Josh Rosen 2.
That doesn't shock me at all either.
It's a good darn question. The answer is going to be no. But it's a good question. All right, we'll dig into it. That's kind of fun news, right? There you go.
It is.
If you missed everything we talked about with Emmanuel Sanders, you can catch up with it on demand at 1043thefan.com, and we're replaying it at 5 o'clock. When we come back, Kevin Hogan, one of my favorite guys, was banging the table for Kevin Hogan to be drafted in like the 5th round. It's going to be like a RG3. Kirk Cousins sort of deal. I saw it. And he's on the team and he joins us next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life.
Oh my God.
So good. He's probably heard this once or twice.
I don't know if he's heard it once or twice.
I guarantee you ask him whose music is this, he'll know.
All right. I will ask him. Oh, man. Wait, do I got him or not? Oh, hey, Kevin, how are you? Kevin Hogan's joining us.
I'm good. How are y'all doing?
Great.
All right, how many times have you heard the Hulk Hogan theme song in reference to you?
It's actually been a while, probably since college.
All right, so more references to Hulk Hogan for you or Hogan's Heroes?
Oh, man, I've got to say Hulk Hogan.
All right.
Hogan's Heroes is popular among the older crowd, though.
Wow! Thanks a lot.
There you go.
That's what I feel like right now. Kevin, first of all, thank you for being on with us. And I would say congratulations on signing a deal with the Broncos. I think every year you're in the NFL is awesome. And, you know, I'll just start there. How did you feel about signing this? And from what I understand, it's a one-year deal. And if it's not, you can feel free to correct me. But how do you feel about the deal?
No, it is a one-year deal. And, you know, it's another opportunity for me. I really enjoyed last season. You know, it was unfortunate I wasn't here for OTAs and training camp, so I kind of got here as the season was rolling. And felt like I had a good year practicing and picking up everything and meshed well with my teammates in the locker room and really enjoyed it. And we have a new staff coming in, and it's a system that I'm similar with, I've had familiarity with on offense. So I'm excited to have a full offseason here and kind of take advantage of this opportunity.
From what I read, you had other offers on the table. Is that right? Is that true, first of all?
Yes, it is.
Okay. More than two, more than three, around that, you know.
I'd say there was two others that were close, but, you know, at the end of the day, I felt that this was best for me. Denver, you know, gave me an opportunity last season, and yeah, this is the place I want to be. I love the way that the culture is in the locker room. I love how everyone wants to win, and I think that we're trending in that direction.
All right, and you say this system is even better for you. Can you explain that for all of us specifically?
Well, it's just something that I'm more familiar with. It's what I ran in college at Stanford and in Washington. You know, I felt very comfortable with it. It's a lot of West Coast. You know, Bill Walsh is kind of the godfather of that, but Kyle Shanahan and the Sean McVay and Jay Gruden system. And it's something that I feel comfortable with, and I'm excited. I want to be in a system that I think fits my skill set and learn from these coaches that have had a lot of success with some quarterbacks.
Kevin Hogan joining us here on The Drive. Kevin, I always wondered for a guy like you, what your mindset is this time of year. And by that, I mean that your status with the Broncos isn't, you know, firmly established. How often or how much, rather, do you pay attention to other quarterback conversations surrounding the Broncos, what the Broncos could do at that position in the draft and things like that?
You know, I think a little bit earlier in my career, I may have thought about it a little more. Competition's healthy, and, you know, it doesn't do any good to worry about any of that stuff. What's going on, what people are talking about, other guys that you're going to be competing with. So for me, it was just, you know, get back in, put my head down and grind and take advantage of this opportunity. And, you know, if I work hard enough and take the coaching, then I should be in a good spot.
Yeah, it is crazy, though, Kevin, when you think about it, that, and we're not wishing anything ill upon Joe Flacco whatsoever, but if you're there and you have a chance, I mean, seriously, anything can happen as long as you're there and you have a chance. So staying alive in the NFL has got to be a big deal, I would guess.
Definitely. And Joe is a great quarterback. I have a lot of respect for him, and I can't wait to work with him. I know he's going to be great. And my job, first and foremost, is to help him get ready for Sundays. But I've been in situations where, you know, you have to get thrown in, and that requires studying as a starter throughout the week and making sure you know the game plan inside and out, and so that when you get out there, you can make plays and lead the team.
You know what must be kind of cool? You get an extra preseason game.
I know. I thought about that. I get an extra couple of weeks of OTAs and an extra, I guess, week of camp.
Yeah, that could be the Kevin Hogan show there in Canton, dude. That could be all right. Right? Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Have you had an afternoon where it's like you're back in high school and you're hanging out with your buddy Christian and you're over mom and dad's house, like putting like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches together? Have you had that moment since you've been here in Denver?
I have not. And
what?
I feel bad. I was supposed to go, I was supposed to go work out with Christian today, but something came up and I ended up just staying at the Broncos facility, but I'll definitely go back and try and, get that old combination going again for a couple of days.
So wait a second. Christian hasn't taken you over to Ed and Lisa's house yet?
He's all over the place. That guy's a traveling man, and he's awesome. They're great people, and I'll get down there soon enough.
All right, last one. You know, you were on this show years ago when you were getting into the draft, and we talked about virtual reality. And you praised it up and down. We had Christian on, too. He said it was awesome. I've asked the Broncos about this for years and years, and they just haven't dug into it. I'll ask you. Should the Broncos go in that direction? Would you think that would be a beneficial thing?
I really do. I benefited from it. But in college, when I was using it, I was a starter. So, you know, I had been getting all the reps and, you know, I had that feeling and that timing with my teammates. And I think that now, as a player who's not getting as many reps at practice and that timing with guys, if you can use that, you're getting all the reps.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go through, you know, 100 plays a day without going out on the field and kind of feeling what it's like behind center, seeing the defense. And so I think it's a very good tool for quarterbacks, especially guys who aren't getting as many reps.
And Kevin, one more follow-up on the way out here to D-Mac's question about the virtual reality. I've heard D-Mac talk about it. I've heard other quarterbacks talk about it. But when you actually step in, like, what exactly is the process of virtual reality? Are you're taking the snap? What are you seeing? What are you throwing into? Like, what is it actually more of a fundamental approach?
So it kind of depends. So we would use it for 7-on-7 where there's no pass rush or there's no chance of the camera getting knocked over. And you can get, you know, 15, 20 clips on there. And so when you go in afterwards, you can go through all your reads. You can see the defense, studying the defense, kind of how they're rotating and where the blitz might be coming from. So that was huge, especially as a backup. Being able to go through your progression and feel the timing and where guys are going to be, where your check down is going to be. But then also the other huge thing that I thought was cool about it was picking up blitzes. So we do a little period where it's just about 10 plays of another team, the team we're playing that week's blitz package. And so that when you get out there in the game, you already have that vantage point of behind center. You know, you see the linebacker tilt, you see the way the safeties are rotating and you can hear your own cadence. So you see how people are, when you're watching film, like traditional film, you don't have sound. So when you're watching it in virtual reality and you have the sound and you can hear your cadence and watch how people are moving, trying to jump the snap. And I just think it's a really beneficial tool.
Good stuff. You know, I go way back with Lisa. I mean, Mrs. McCaffrey, and, I'm just putting out there, Mrs. McCaffrey, Lisa, hit up Kevin. He's just hanging out. He blew off Christian today. I mean, he's probably lonely. So I'm just encouraging Mrs. McCaffrey to have you over, Kevin. And I know she'll hear this.
I'm sure she will. And Christian, when I said I wasn't going to make it, he said, "Oh, that's okay. My brother will throw to me." His brother's a quarterback too. So
he's going to Nebraska. That's right. Yeah, well, actually, two brothers. Which brother is he talking about?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think it matters.
All right, thanks, Kevin. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon, and congratulations again.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right.
That's cool.
That is really funny to call Lisa Mrs. McCaffrey. That is sticking it to. She's gonna be upset about that. Yeah.
It's even funnier the fact that ending saying, "I don't know which brother he's talking about."
Right. Well, I mean,
both,
you know,
fully capable.
You got one in Michigan, you got one going to Nebraska. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, you blew it, Kevin. Okay, this is The Drive. We come back, and Zach, it's one of the greatest times of the year, for sure. We're having fun with it. I got to get your take on things because you know this stuff way better than I do. I thought it was a pretty good day yesterday. And I have a team that I think could be a Final Four team. And you're going to have to help me out on the seas, but it could be the biggest upset Final Four team that's not an upset. Details next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Just a reminder, if you missed The Emmanuel Sanders interview, we will be replaying it at 5 o'clock. So I saw a lot of people, Zach Bye with DMAC, saying, oh, I missed it. You know, can I see it, hear it? You can see it at 1043thefan.com. The video production of it is pretty cool. But the radio replay will happen at 5 o'clock. And then after that, college hoops action. Zach, Murray State. Is Murray State like legit? Because that was the easiest to me. That was the easiest 12 over 5 upset to predict. Are they legit? Do they have? Well, how high would you rank
Ja Morant? First of all, Murray State, you say, are they legit? Yes, they're incredibly legit. Anytime you're a Division I team, you win 28 games in a season, you're legit. Murray State comes out of the Ohio Valley Conference. They're terrific. They're terrific. They have a top 10 NBA draft pick on their team who, you know, in the first game of the NCAA tournament goes for 17 points, 11 rebounds, and 16 assists. He's stupid. He makes them legit. Unfortunately, I give him a shot against Florida State because that's who they're matched up with the next round. Florida State is a terrific group, well coached. They were in the lead eight last year, if you remember. Some of those pieces return. I actually got a buddy on that team, David Nichols, who comes off the bench. They're probably not going to get past Florida State. But if they do, and they could, they ain't getting past Gonzaga. Gonzaga could go win the national championship. Gonzaga has a top 10 draft pick named Rui Hachimura. And they have a collection of guys, Josh Perkins, local kid here, right? Prince of Park Hill, kid Brandon Clark, Zach Norvell. They're gonna treat Murray State probably like a JV team. Like they've been doing.
So you see that's where it's gonna go.
That is where this story ends. Ja Morant will be in the draft. He'll be picked fifth or sixth, if not fourth. Who knows? His stock is rising. He's got a lot of comparisons to Russell Westbrook. Ja does. And fairly so. I mean, the kid is a freak. And he can play. He's not just an athlete playing basketball. He's a basketball player who's an athlete.
Today, slide ups at 9 over an 8. Oklahoma destroys Ole Miss, 95-72. I was at Sports Column, which is a huge Iowa bar, and it was packed at noon. People leaving work, getting sick, making some excuses. They upset Cincinnati, I guess, 10 over 7, 79-72. The Anteaters of UC Irvine, 70-64 over Kansas State. That's a 13 over a 4.
That's a big upset. Kansas State, right? Kansas State was in the Elite Eight last year. They've dealt with injuries. Their best player's been injured. My cousin is the director of basketball ops for Bruce Weber's Kansas State team. So I was sad to see that.
UC Irvine, though, I was looking. They got 30 wins, though. So,
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you got to look for teams that not only won their conference, but, like, dominated it. Like, just were the best. And you could certainly see Buffalo as that same sort of team. And they lead. They lead my Sun Devils by 20.
I told you.
I mean, what league is Buffalo even in?
They are in the MAC, the Mid-American Conference, with like Ohio, Miami,
Ohio.
Did
they win it?
Oh, yeah. They're a six seed.
Yeah. So here's the MAC.
Forks down today.
It's getting uglier.
It is. They're getting
23.
Waxed. They're getting washed right now.
Just think about this. Oh, look at those poor little Sun Devils. Look at those little Sparkies.
Cry it out.
Man, I am having a bad couple days here, dude. I'll tell you what.
You are.
And I lived and died with the Sun Devils, and there were so many exciting games this year. And I love the Pac-12, Zach, but holy cow, is this an indictment of, like, how bad the Pac-12 actually is?
Yeah, Pac-12 basketball is down. Big East basketball is down.
Why?
You know what? I don't have an explanation
for it. How is the Pac-12 in basketball that does have three teams in, but may not have any teams after today? We'll see what Utah State does to Washington. You know, Washington was the best team in the regular season in the Pac-12. They're a 9 seed. Oregon did get in the tournament, but they got in the tournament because they won the Pac-12. If they don't win the Pac-12 tournament, they're not in. And they're a 12 with a 5. They're tied with Wisconsin. And the Pac-12, Zach, I don't even know what to say.
Here's where we need to start with the Pac-12. How can, you and I have talked about this off the air, how can a program with the history and resources of UCLA
don't get it,
not recruit and not able to compete at the highest level?
I don't understand. I don't know.
UCLA,
unless they just have Hollywood superstars getting scholarships for their kids, and that's really who's playing for UCLA.
Dude, UCLA was one game over 500 this year.
I watched them. I saw them in person a couple times, actually.
They fired their coach, like, after 7 games, who had been there, Coach Alford. They fired him after, like, 7 or 10 games. I just can't, like, USC. How can USC not continue to get recruits like, Nick Young and O.J. Mayo?
So, by the way, the bigger lesson here is CU's got to be winning in the Pac-12. I mean, we're not talking about some sort of absurd conference to succeed in.
Of course not.
So if you're CU in terms of basketball, come on. Give me a break. And they had a good run, for sure. They started out slowly, and they had a good run. No doubt about it. They made it to the Pac-12 semifinals.
Mm-hmm. Young team.
So I would say this. I would say we should expect big things from CU, and you should. There's no reason that CU can't contend to win the Pac-12 in basketball. No reason they shouldn't do that. But then the Pac-12 is also down in football, and you read that huge story about Larry Scott has got to be the commissioner of the Pac-12 has got to be fearing for his job. At least he should be.
He should be.
There's just something that's just not right. Never mind, they're only the Pac-11 for baseball. But they are the Conference of Champions. Why? Because they also play volleyball, beach volleyball, water polo, women's lacrosse. There's a lot of sports out there. They won. Oregon State won the national championship in baseball. And CU doesn't even have a baseball team, Pac-11 for baseball.
Mm. Here's the one really quick question.
Yeah.
Coach Boeheim needs to retire.
Yes. Yes.
He needs
to
retire.
Yes, he does.
Is Coach Hopkins the next coach at Syracuse? That's the question.
Is he out of contract at Washington?
Oh, they could contractual. I'm not worried about that.
Why would he leave Washington?
That's not, first of all, it's not his recruiting ground. He's been dragging kids from the East Coast up there.
I mean, I guess, but I don't. That's a good question. I'll think about
it. I just want to put it in your head.
By the way, when did somebody my same exact age, who I went to school with, start looking like Snoke from Star Wars? Okay, maybe that reference is too old. My wife said Snoke, and I thought it was funny. I was going to say Smithers from The Simpsons, but just like an old craggly dude.
Snoke, like without the mask.
Right.
Gotcha.
We have football for next.